This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Let's head off to connect with Prof. Dion Foster, theologian and university research chair at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. Hey, Dion, I hope you're well. We were just chatting before that song to say it felt like yesterday when you said you would be leaving Stellenbosch and moving there. And now, you know, you speak the language, you're preaching in the language, you're doing your thing, your family's there with you. How time flies.
Absolutely, Brad. And I must say, it feels like just yesterday that we arrived here, but it also feels like a lifetime. You know, one of those proofs that time is relative.
Indeed. Dion, I want to launch into this because we know we're in Lent, and I know we're talking about Lent here, and it's leading up to Easter time and us remembering the cross. I just thought there might be some people listening here this morning that are saying, Lent, we don't do that in our church. What is that? Because all I think Lent is people make you stop eating chocolate for a really long time. And I don't know what that's all about. And do you have to do it? Why? I'm confused. So I was just thinking, if there's anybody in that headspace this morning, if you could grab a moment or two just to help us out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Brad, Lent is very definitely not a requirement. It's something that Christians throughout the centuries started practicing in the 40 days leading up to Easter as an opportunity to just slightly change the normal rhythms of our lives. So, in part, it has to do with what we read in Luke 4. Remember when Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and he didn't eat and he was tempted by the devil? In part, it also has to do with the journey to Jerusalem. So for some people, that journey took 40 days as they were going towards Jerusalem, what's known as the Via Dolorosa, the road of the cross. And Christians throughout the ages said, let's use this as a kind of spiritual discipline, a little bit like journaling, a little bit like, for example, a daily devotional aid, a little bit like, for example, a small group. So all of these are devices to help us to interrupt our regular rhythms and find a way to refocus our attention, our minds, our hearts, our lives on Christ. And of course, the thing that it's best known for is, you know, the giving up of something, fasting of something. But for many Christians, it also means taking something up. Last week, we were with friends who are in ministry in the Czech Republic. And for them, they decided we're going to take up a few things. We're going to do a few things extra. Spend a little more time caring for others, a little more of our money giving to good causes, a little bit more of our energy cultivating the habits of prayer and the reading of scripture. So it's that kind of a thing. Now, this week, we're actually in the second week of Lent. And Brad, traditionally, throughout the last, I'd say, 1,700 years or so, these weeks have had different themes. And the theme for this week is about trusting in God's calling and walking in a path which is not common to the path of the world.
Yeah.
So if anybody's interested, you can just do a little Google search for the lectionary readings for the week. And there are readings which are set for each day. And these normally have a little bit of a theme. Now, when I read the readings for this week, what struck me is that one of the purposes of this journey, this time of slowing down, of focusing a little bit more, is realignment. It stops us. We step back from our ordinary lives. Some of us fast, we pray, and we ask. And for this week in particular, the questions that we're invited to ask are our lives reflecting the way of Jesus? Are we becoming more like Christ? And I was praying about this and thinking about this during this week and thought, well, that's a pretty difficult standard to go by. How would we measure that? And of course, the clearest measurement of that is what we find in Matthew 5, verse 9. Listen to this. This is absolutely clear. This is how you know you're becoming more like Jesus. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be named or called or identified as children of God.
Sure.
So if you want to know whether you're becoming a bit more like Jesus, you have to ask the question, am I living the life of a peacemaker? Now, what I find interesting about this, Brad, and of course, it's a wonderful blessing that one can read a bit of Greek,
yeah,
is that the word which is used there for peacemakers is a very sort of declarative statement. It's an active word. It's not passive. So it doesn't say blessed are the peaceful or happy are those. Blessed means happy. Happy are those who live in peace. It says blessed or happy or content are those who make peace. Huh. Now, think about that for a moment. A peacemaker is someone who works to reconcile people, someone who resists hatred and violence, someone who seeks to bring healing where there is conflict. And Brad, I think for you, for me, for our listeners listening today, we're surrounded by opportunities. I think our culture is sometimes created in such a way that it wants to pit us against each other, men against women, person of different ethnicities and races against one another, persons of different faith traditions against one another. But our responsibility, I think, as Christians, is to say we resist that. We're not going to be the way of the world. We're going to be the way of Jesus. Now, Brad, let me land this today. I think one of the things that's really brought this home for me this week has been the war that's broken out in Iran. And I think for most of us who have read a little bit and think a little bit about this, we know that that was a really oppressive, it is a really repressive and abusive, evil regime which is there. But the sudden sort of turn towards violence and destruction to deal with those evils is very often a mistake. You know, I mean, we've spoken about this before. I was in the army. I've seen combat. There's nothing romantic about that. Most often, it's not sustainable peace that comes. It's accompanied by power. And part of what I've seen is the ways in which people are responding to this, even Christians, you know, in very unpeaceful ways with each other in public sometimes, so on social media, in the news. And I thought to myself, you know, unfortunately for us as Christians, many of us are giving up our witness. We're not looking a lot like Jesus because of the way that this is being portrayed. So I want to ask just three questions. The question I want to ask myself, and maybe this means something to you as listeners, is do I escalate conflict or calm it? Do I spread anger or do I try to slow things down and bring some understanding? And is my speech hateful or violent, or do I always try to speak with love and grace? How we think, how we talk, how we react, I think tells us whether we're becoming more like Jesus.
There you go. Now you take those things that Prof. Dion has just shared and you take that to your social media reading of what people are posting, and the challenge is there. Do you join them or are you the alternative voice out there should you choose to share? I'm thinking while you're talking, Dion, about the challenge and the need for introspection. And I've realized even in my own life, and this must therefore be true for most of us, we get caught up with all sorts of things, stuff that we think is good, and it is good. It's work and family and all of that stuff. But when last have I actually sat down and with some active introspection, where I've asked myself the question, where am I in my walk? I can measure myself against Jesus because we've got the Word of God and it's there. So I can immediately, there's a measuring stick, for lack of a better phrase. So I can see, how do I stack up? And of course, I'm going to fall horribly short, but I've got to be giving it my best go. And how am I doing? Where am I? Yep. So like, take stock of it. And that requires intentionality, introspection. And the thing that we all claim we don't have is time. But boy, oh boy, this is the kind of thing we've got to make time for.
Brad, absolutely. So John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, emphasized that one thing. There's that beautiful scripture that says, be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Mm. And what Wesley said is that Christian perfection, striving to be perfect, is something that we can dedicate our whole lives to. And he used two phrases for that. The one phrase that he used is what he called scriptural holiness. He said, as far as we can, we should be studying the scriptures and using that as a pattern for our lives to say, how do we respond in ways that the scriptures outline? Just think, for example, about the fruits of the Spirit. Yes. You know, just one example. And then the second thing that he said is he said, Christian perfection, because God is perfect and we're called to be like God, is always perfect love. How are we patterning our lives to be loving to those around us, even loving to the world, even loving perhaps to ourselves. So that for me is a constant challenge. And you're right, Brad. It takes intentionality. It takes evaluation. It takes a little bit of planning. You know, today I've got a busy day. I know I've got one or two conflicted meetings coming up, people who perhaps are not that easy, and maybe I'm not that easy with them. But before the day began, just to sit down and pray and say, Lord, I want you to go before me there. I want your peace to be present. I want you to place a guard before my heart and mouth and allow me to speak only love and truth. So those kinds of things help us in our daily walk.
Well, there you go. You've heard it from Professor Dion Foster. He's a theologian, also the University Research Chair at the Vrije Universiteit out there in Amsterdam, making time for us early morning on his side on a Thursday. We so appreciate and so value these moments. Have a really fantastic day and a great week until we connect again.
Thanks, Brad. God bless. Bye then.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.